Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Well, they're two of the world's most significant singer-songwriters, Nick Cave and U2's Bono. They have both risen to the top of their respective music worlds. Both cite the early loss of a parent as a defining moment for them, and both write about love, death, and religion. And both consider Jesus Christ to be the most significant person in history. So, what do Nick Cave and Bono believe about Jesus? Where do they agree? Where do they differ? And could their different understandings mirror broader society? Greg Clark is the director of the Center for Public Christianity and has mined both artists' lyrics for quite a while. He's got a bit of insight to share. I'm glad he's with us. G'day, Greg.
G'day, Sheridan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Happy Easter.
And to you.
Yeah, this exercise of yours grew out of what was a pretty unique academic experience for you, didn't it?
Well, I had the fantastic opportunity of going to the first ever international conference on U2 last year.
Doesn't that say something itself?
It does, it does. It feels like a junket, and I have to say it was a lot of fun. It was over in North Carolina, and there were a whole bunch of people there talking about U2, people who are interested in the social justice side of U2, those who are just mad keen fans of the music, but also lots of people who are interested in their views on spirituality.
Mm-hmm. So where did the idea of kind of juxtaposing Bono and U2's understanding of Jesus and spirituality within, say, Nick Cave's?
Well, I guess I've just always been really interested in both artists from my teenage years onwards. I'm always attracted to music that's got a real energy to it and fascinating ideas, especially when artists are kind of obsessed with the spiritual things. They were both in that scene. And I've just followed them through the years and noticed that for both artists, Jesus, the figure of Jesus, was this incredibly inspiring and important part of their work, but in very different ways.
Mm. Well, let's start with Nick Cave. We'll move on to Bono and then kind of compare the two as we go. How much has Nick Cave actually drawn on the figure of Jesus in his music and in his writing? Because he's done both. He's written lyrics. He's also written books.
Yeah, he has. It's interesting. You know, he has there's been an exhibition on Nick Cave that's travelled around the country in the last couple of years, and it has a lot of the paraphernalia that he has around him when he's composing. And there's this bust of Jesus that sits on his piano when he's composing. You know, so physically, Jesus is sort of there in front of him as almost an icon as he works. But you know, the figure of Jesus and the Gospels themselves have been significant to him for a long time. He used to be obsessed by the Old Testament, but then actually it was a Christian minister who said to him, "You ought to look into the New Testament and see what you find there." And he did. He read the Gospels, especially the Gospel of Mark, which he loved, and he just found something in Jesus that he couldn't leave behind. And so a lot of his songs refer back to Christian themes or pick up some of the ideas or teachings of Jesus.
Yeah. From memory, he was, I think he was born an Anglican. Is that right? I think he was born Anglican.
Yeah, actually, he sang in the school choir in rural Victoria church. I think it was Wangaratta Cathedral, something like that.
There you go.
So he came from an Anglican family. I don't know exactly how seriously Christianity was taken in the household, but certainly his background was, you know, from within Christianity.
Mm-hmm. So piecing together all of those references then in his work and his lyrics and things, who is the Jesus that Nick Cave then writes about and sings about?
Yeah, well, it's fascinating to try and work that out. And it takes a bit of work because it's not as simple as saying, well, he's read the Gospel of Mark and found Jesus there and he writes about that. Mm. Not at all. He's actually very interested mainly in human creativity. And he sees in Jesus a very inspiring figure, someone who fought against the authorities at the time, a bit of a revolutionary, someone who was so in touch with his own imagination that he could view himself as a godlike figure. So you wouldn't say that Nick Cave had an orthodox view of Jesus in terms of the theology, but he certainly thought that Jesus, in a sense, leads the way for how humans can get beyond themselves.
Mm-hmm. Almost kind of a Freudian kind of psychological reading of who Jesus is.
It is a little psychological like that. It's that Jesus is the kind of muse that you need to be a great artist, because he not only suffered terribly, but he also drew other people with him to go beyond themselves. I think that's the key for Nick Cave.
Mm-hmm.
It's a human Jesus. It's not a divine Jesus.
Right. And has that, even though it seems that this Jesus is very different from, say, the Jesus you will find as you simply read the Gospels, has that changed him? I mean, has it influenced him? I mean, even that little bit, would he say, Has that changed him in any way, even the way he writes his lyrics and the way he lives his life? Is there any meaning to be squeezed out of that kind of psychological Jesus for him?
I think there is. I mean, one of the key things for Nick Cave is that Jesus was the good son. That's the title of one of his albums, actually. He was the good son who did the Father's will. And for Cave, this is really important because he cites as one of his most significant moments in his life the death of his own father when he was age 19. His father died. I think it was in a car crash suddenly. And that was the sort of defining moment for Nick Cave. And he sees in Jesus someone who tried to do the will of his father, tried to please his father. And that influence, I think, is really significant for Cave. He writes all the time now about his relationship with his father. And I think it's a way of talking about a relationship with God.
Mm-hmm. Fascinating. Mm-hmm. Greg Clark is the director of the Center for Public Christianity. He's also a bit of a fan of Nick Cave and Bono's music. And we're kind of piecing together the references that both of them make in their music to the person of Jesus, given the fact that this is Easter Sunday. Openhouseonline.com.au for the podcast from tomorrow on. Let's switch to Bono. It's very hard to contain the references.
They're everywhere.
To Jesus in his lyrics, to God, to religion, to faith, the Christian faith in particular. Sunday, Bloody Sunday, Pride, Yahweh, our Open House theme song, Magnificent. They are everywhere.
They are. And sometimes people tell me they can't see where Christianity is in the music of U2. And I just wonder what they're listening to, because really every album they've ever done, including the ones in the period they call their kind of pop period, where they were trying to deliberately be different to the old U2. It's still all about Jesus. It's all about God. I mean, you can't name songs Yahweh and think that, you know, these are secular artists.
Yep.
It's I think everywhere you look, you see the influence of Christian thinking on Bono, and in a different way to Nick Cave. I mean, U2, as many people know, had a sort of conversion experience when they were forming their band. Mm. They were part of a Christian community in Ireland, and that influence has stayed with them.
Mm.
And I think it's there to this day. In fact, their latest album, No Line on the Horizon, I think is kind of a Christian praise album in many ways.
Well, Magnificent is very, very much that, isn't it? Taking that song of praise to God from Mary in what is traditionally known as her Magnificat, and turning it into Magnificent. It really is. It is. It's an ode to God, as somebody said to me. Yeah.
So I think there's a reinterpreting of Christianity for people who listen to pop music. That's what you two are trying to do.
Yeah, nicely put. So let's talk about the Jesus Bono believes in and what you can piece together from what he says about Christ.
Well, here it's a much more standard picture of Jesus. I mean, again, people sometimes say, they look at Bono, they look at the kind of rock star behaviour and think, well, how can this guy be a Christian? But when you actually listen to what he says about his faith, it's very straightforward Christianity. So there's a wonderful book that those who are interested can read called Bono on Bono, mm-hmm. by a journalist called Mishka Assayas. And in that, Bono just outlines precisely that he believes that Jesus was either the Christ, who he said he was, or a complete nutcase. Mm. That's a quote from it. So you get a view, really, that would line up with any of the major creeds that the churches believe in.
Yeah. I remember a conversation I had with poet and rock historian Steve Turner a few years back, and Steve had written a book called Reimagine, and it was all about Christians working in the arts, but not necessarily being quote-unquote Christian musicians or Christian artists or whatever. A very, very good book. And at that time, he had analysed all of U2's lyrics to date, and that was probably 2002, 2003, and he felt that Sunday Bloody Sunday was the most explicitly stated lyric of the gospel, the message of Jesus that U2 had actually done. You know the lyric, the real battle just begun to claim the victory Jesus won on Sunday Bloody Sunday. Would you say that's changed now with the albums that have subsequently come? Is there one that's even better at explaining the message of Jesus?
Yeah, well, I mean, it is peppered throughout. Sunday Bloody Sunday takes, you know, a terrible event in Ireland and says the gospel is enough to make victory out of this terrible failure of humanity. But they've certainly got a lot of songs since then. I mean, those who are into the rattle and hum period would know a song like When Love Came to to Town, when that he did with B.B. King, which is really a gospel song about, you know, Jesus taking your sins on the cross. But I love songs that are a little bit slant to that, where the gospel can be heard in language that you wouldn't necessarily immediately think was the gospel. So a song like Grace which talks about the beauty of grace. It's the name of a girl, but it's also a thought that changes the world. Grace makes beauty out of ugly things. You know, these are getting to the heart of the gospel without using the terminology that everyone would immediately go, oh, that's a Christian thing.
Yes. And that's what the artist does. I mean, that's they mine their dictionaries and thesauruses. They mine the world for new and fresh ways to actually explain something that so many people sometimes have become very accustomed to and no longer hear.
Yeah, and they're great observers of life. They see the lives people are leading, and they can bring something like the eternal truth of Jesus Christ to the situation people are in now and say, can you see what love has done here? Can you see how this makes a difference to your life?
Yeah.
Can you see that the ancient message of Jesus is still the message you need here to help you in your life today?
Yeah, so Bono's understanding of the cross of Easter, and compare that then to Nick Cave too.
Yeah, well, there's a huge difference here. For Cave, the cross is the end for Jesus. It's the failure, it's dejection, it's sorrow, it's death, death winning. And he says this in an introduction to the Gospel of Mark that he wrote, that this is the killing off of the great revolutionary figure. So in a sense, the cross for Nick Cave is not the path to salvation, but for Bono, that's exactly what it is. It's the place, it's the window in the sky, as he says in one of his songs. It's the place where eternity meets the earth, because justice is done, sin is done away with, and heaven and earth can come together. So they have starkly different views of the cross. The cross is this brutal kind of point of punishment and destruction of creativity for Cave. But for Bono, it's the opening up of the hope of forgiveness, of mercy, of grace, and of new life.
Yeah. So listening to you, Greg, I can't help but think, and as we compare the ideas of Nick Cave and Bono on Jesus, and Nick Cave's human inspiration, Jesus, and Bono's human and divine, Jesus, I can't help but think they probably mirror society at large a bit in many ways, don't they? I've got friends on both sides. I was on both sides for a period of time there. I wonder if what we've talked about there kind of mirrors something broader than just those two artists.
I think you might be right, because you've sort of got this option with Jesus, haven't you? You can't really avoid his important influence on the world. I mean, you identify him as a central figure of history pretty easily. You can admire him. You can think his teachings were great. You can think he did great deeds. But then there's a point where that's not enough. If you're really going to take Jesus seriously, he demands more. And I think that's where Bono comes in with the response of worship, that worship is actually the response required of taking Jesus seriously. If you really think Easter happened, if you really think these events matter, then it's a worshipful response that'll generate in you.
Well, fascinating to talk to you, Greg. Always is. Thanks for your time.
A pleasure, Sheridan.
Yeah, Greg Clark from the Centre of Public Christianity.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.